Amen. So your soul is all taken care of? You were singing about that, right? Talking about your soul. You've got salvation. Oh, I'll never forget. Never forget the day of my salvation. And I don't think you will either. If you forgot when it was, it didn't happen, right? So make sure you get that taken care of. Our soul is satisfied in Jesus, and I love it. I love it. I have some very special guests here tonight. Brother Steve and Sharon Chris. Amen. Would you stand, please? I want you to stand. Thank you. God bless you so much. He was my song leader for about 20 years. And he's one of the greatest. No doubt about it. I got to tell the story just a little bit of it. Okay, Steve? I came to Steve and I was doing songs. I was directing songs. I love to sing and I don't mind, leading songs. But man, I'm the pastor and I need to be standing over there thinking about what I'm preaching. Right, Pastor? And so I said, Brother Steve, would you consider leading the music for the church? He struck with fear. I said, I've been praying about it, and I just feel like the Lord wants me to ask you to do that. Are you sure, Pastor? I said, pray about it for a couple of weeks and get back to me. He didn't. So I said, Brother Steve, you going to lead songs for me? Are you sure that the Lord told you? Very timid. I said, yeah. He said, well, I'll try it, Pastor. I will never forget the first time he got up and he's holding on for dear life, literally holding on to the pulpit. The pulpit is slightly shaking. His arms are shaking and his pant leg was doing one of these. And I went, he's going to faint. He is going to faint. And I was like, oh, I have made a mistake. And a couple of weeks later, he was doing this. And then all of a sudden, he let loose. And man, it was wonderful. The song service was kind of like what happened tonight, right here. Man, I'll tell you, on fire singing. Boy, that'll stir you up, won't it? That'll get the joy going, right? When you think about how wonderful our Lord is and how much He does for us, we can't help but shout once in a while. Amen. And Sharon, she was the church cake cutter. We never had a birthday party without her cutting the cake. It was just, give it to Sharon. She would take care of it. And they were such a blessing to me, and I wanted to share that. Take your Bibles and go to Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 9. We sang about the soul. Let's talk about the spirit, your spirit. Now, we know that there are many spirits out there. Many spirits out there. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Now, you don't need that other spirit, do you? Amen. Lord saved us from that. Thank the Lord for that. There are many spirits. There are negative spirits in the Bible, and then there are what we would call positive spirits. I want you to look with me, hold your place right there in Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to give you a few verses of Scripture. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. The Bible talks about the spirit of man, a haughty spirit, before the fall. There's the spirit of Antichrist. Boy, aren't we seeing that today? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Have you ever met anybody that was possessed of the devil? The spirit of divination. That's another spirit. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, a damsel was possessed with the spirit of divination. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, there are many that have the spirit of disobedience. They know how to disobey real well. Ephesians 2:1 says, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. We've seen that, haven't we? Even some Christians, the way they act, something's wrong. Something is wrong in them. And there are things that are demonstrated from them that reveal that they have a bad spirit. But then there are positive spirits in the Bible. How about a broken spirit? You see that once in a while. There have been times I've looked down on the altar and I've seen a puddle of tears. I don't cry much, but when I do, it helps me. It really helps me. And I believe He collects those tears in a bottle, the Bible says. The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. Then there's the Spirit of truth. John chapter 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world can't receive. But we know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, the Spirit of truth. Don't you love the Spirit of truth? It shows us the way we're supposed to live. Then there's the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. There's so many scriptures dealing with that. I want to take you, if you would go with me there, to verse 1 of chapter 9 in Luke. I'm going to ask you the question, what kind of a spirit do you have? What are you really like? God knows. I want you to look closely in verse 1. Then He called His 12 disciples together, and He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And the Bible says, and they departed and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Boy, isn't that exciting. Can you imagine being one of the 12? What an honor that would have been. To walk with Jesus, to talk to Jesus. He was approachable. Amen. He still is approachable. He's just a prayer away. We need the Spirit, not of prayerlessness, but the Spirit of prayer. I can talk to God anytime I want. What a blessing that is. Right? So these disciples, they go, they're sent out. He gives them four things to do. And they're working at it. They're preaching the gospel and they're healing sickness and disease and casting out devils, and God's hand is on them and they are doing a great work for God. And I wanted you to notice that as time goes by, we start seeing the spirit of the disciples. Look with me in verse 12 through 17. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12. So they've been out doing the great work of God, and they came to meet Jesus where He was ministering. and said unto him, they come up to the Lord Jesus, and they tell the Lord Jesus, send the multitude away, that we, that they may go into the town and country round about and lodge and get visuals, for we are here in a desert place. Isn't it amazing how people have the unique ability to order God around? And so the Lord just, in His grace and love, oh my, He just said to them in verse 13, give ye them to eat. Would you just go ahead and give these 5,000 people a bite to eat? Does the Lord have a sense of humor or what? Does He know how to put us in our place? Number one, I want you to write this down. The disciples had an inconsiderate spirit. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Because sometimes we have an inconsiderate spirit. They didn't care about the multitude. They cared about getting out of work. And they were so smart and had been so greatly used of God that they'd gotten some power and had gone right to their head. And they start ordering Jesus around. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. Can you imagine going and buying meat for 5,000? For they were about 5,000 men. And He said unto His disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed them and brake and gave unto the disciples to set before the multitude, and they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of the fragments that remained, oh, guess how many baskets? One for every one of the disciples to carry. Yeah, big basket full of bread. Mm-hmm. Think about ordering the Lord around. I want to tell you something. We can get an inconsiderate spirit just like that. Everything can be going great in your life, and then you get a phone call. You're doing great. You got a great spirit in your heart. Then some person comes up to you and gives you some gossip. Oh, man. Boy, I wish she hadn't said that. Then you find out it wasn't even true anyway. You ought to consider other people's feelings. If you're going to talk about somebody, make sure they're there to defend themselves. An inconsiderate spirit only cares about self. Yeah, we're guilty of it. My brothers and I didn't get along real well because I was very selfish. Yeah, I had 7 bicycles, one for each day of the week. And I wouldn't let my brothers ride my bicycles unless they gave me something. I was a bad kid. I was very inconsiderate. It was all about me. Boy, your life is little and your world is shrinking when it's all about you. We cannot accomplish God's plan in our Christian lives if we are inconsiderate. Number two, the second spirit that we see in the disciples is found in verse 28. Would you look with me there? We call this an indifferent spirit. Watch verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and James and John and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance, now notice this, it was altered and his raiment was white. And notice, it was glistening. No doubt the Shekinah glory of God had fallen upon God's dear Son. And behold, there talked with him 2 men. You talk about people of the past. Moses and Elias are sitting there and Jesus is talking to them. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with what? Sleep. They're sleeping. They're indifferent. Oh, it's just us and Jesus up here. No big deal. And they start sleeping. An indifferent spirit. You know, there are people that come to church that don't get a thing out of it. You couldn't ask them 10 minutes after the service what the pastor preached. You say, how do you know that? Well, I was like that. If I'd known I was going to be called to be a preacher, I'd have written down every message outline my dad ever preached. But you know what? There's an indifference among the believers. Some want to get out of the service. Why does the pastor take so long? We get indifferent about things, don't we? We get indifferent with our spouse. We get indifferent with our kids. They know it. And you know it. We know when we're not doing right. Amen. Yeah. We get indifferent. Well, I didn't like that message. It seemed to be a bit pointed. Yeah. Yeah. You don't come with steel-toed shoes on here. Because we're not going for the toes. Amen. We're going right for the heart. Amen. I had a little boy in our church. I'll never forget it. The Rodriguez boy. You remember? Little Rodriguez boy. He came up to me. He kind of had a twang with his name, you know, with his voice. He said, "Hello, Pastor Knickerbocker." And he said, "Pastor Knickerbocker, I didn't like your message, but I needed it." What a brilliant young man. Amen. Paul told the church at Galatia, "Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Amen. I think when you're decently right with God, I can't even say that anymore. When you're not right with God, you have a hard time taking the preaching because you know you're indifferent. You're indifferent. And oh, God, deliver us from indifference. People that are indifferent aren't a joy to be around. We just kind of endure one another. But oh, when we're right with God and there's no indifference. It's interesting, isn't it? They were heavy with sleep. It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to get back serving God. Oh, you say, "I used to have a ministry." That's what a lot of people say that are snowbirds in Florida. Yeah, I used to do a bus ministry. I used to teach a Sunday school class. Well, what happened? Well, we're retired. Well, it's time to load and refire. That's a good Texas term, amen? It's time that we get back to serving Jesus. And I don't care how old you are, as long as your mind is decently... There I go with that word again. Keep serving the Lord. Don't get indifferent to the things of God. Wake up and see what's happening. See what God is wanting to do. Can you imagine they woke up and there's Moses? Are you kidding me? And Elijah? Wow, what an amazing thing to see. And then Jesus glistening? Amazing. Number three. Not only did they have an inconsiderate spirit, an indifferent spirit, but they had an impatient spirit. Now listen to what Peter says. Notice he said he was heavy with sleep, okay? And it came to pass as they departed. Let me go to verse 33, yes. Verse 32. It says, "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory in the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here." Oh, really? Oh, now that you woke up. "It's good to be here. And let us make three tabernacles. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Now, underline the next words. Not knowing what he said. I call this an impatient spirit. Did you ever get your mouth ahead of your mind? We need three tabernacles. It's like the guy that was shipwrecked, and he was the only one that made it to shore, and he's living there for a while, and finally somebody finds him, and man, he sees that boat coming up, and he goes out there, and they said, "Hey, we were looking for you. We're so glad we found you." And he said, "What, have you been living here since the wreck?" "Yes, I lived right up on the hill there, and there were three buildings up there." He said, "Well, what are the buildings up there?" He said, "Well, the building to the left is where I live. The building next to it is my church." "Oh, what's the third building?" "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." Huh? Are we nuts or what? Huh? Are we crazy sometimes, the things that we do? We get impatient. And we say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. And we open our mouth and put our foot in it. And it's all because we didn't think. Our spirit was not right with God. I want to tell you, one time Anne Marie said to Josh, "Josh, it seems like I don't know you very well." This is when he's a teenager, ready to go to college. And he looked at her a little funny, like, "Why do you say that?" "Well, you just never talk much." He said, "Well, somebody has to listen." And then he said something that was very profound. "You never learn anything when you're talking." Boy, isn't that the truth? We can learn from the children, can't we? Huh? Oh, God gives them wisdom too. Sometimes wisdom we don't necessarily want to hear. But a smart parent listens. Amen. I was preaching in a church not long ago, and this one of the men in the church, he worked in the sound room. Nothing against you, Bobby. He came up to me and said, "You know," he said, "it's really funny." He said, I don't believe this, but he said, my son said, "You're the best preacher he's ever heard." And I said, "Do you believe that?" "Oh, no, I don't believe that." I said, "You need to listen to your son." When you become impatient, you make a lot of mistakes. Isn't that true? When you want your way and you can't wait for God to work it out, you become impatient. And you find yourself doing things that you really regret. Go with me to verse 37. Verse 37. "And it came to pass that..." How do you think the disciples are doing thus far? Not so good, right? "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met them. And behold, a man of a company cried out, saying, 'Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit," here it is, "a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruiseth him, hardly departing from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out," say it with me, "and they could not." Write down an impotent spirit. They had a powerless spirit. Now, if you go back to chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, didn't God give them power? Did he or didn't he? Clearly, to do four miracle things. And now they can't do what the Lord told them to do. Why? Because they allowed sin to get in their life. It doesn't mention what sin it is. It just mentions the fact that they couldn't do what they had been given power to do. What went wrong? Well, Jesus lets them know. He lets them know. Look with me in verse 41. "And Jesus answering said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring me thy son hither.'" You know what he was saying? You are a faithless and perverse generation, and how long do I have to put up with you? Have you ever felt like God feels that way about you? I definitely feel that way sometimes. Number one, I'm shocked that He would even call me into His ministry, but then allow me to serve Him. I call that an honor. Did you know He respects you for every spiritual decision you make? Yeah. Every spiritual decision you make, He is glorified and He's honored and you give Him pleasure. And the disciples had lost pleasure from the Lord. It wasn't the Lord's fault. Let me encourage all of you tonight, it's never the Lord's fault. Never. I've been in the ministry 43 years and He's never failed me one time. I can't think of a time, oh, I have failed Him. I've had to go to people and apologize because of my big mouth. Yeah. There have been times I've gone to my wife before the service and I said, honey, I was sharp with you this morning. I shouldn't have talked like I did. And I need you to forgive me. I can't get up and preach if I know my dear wife is sitting out there and she knows me and she knows that I didn't say I was sorry when I should have. Amen. Amen. I believe God is so tender, He can be easily offended. And we ought to be brokenhearted when we offend Him. And if we offend anybody else, we ought to be brokenhearted. In fact, the Bible says, get up from the altar and go to that person you've wronged and get it right. That's revival. I've seen it happen. Amen. There was a Christian school I was preaching in. It was the whole church and the Christian school. And there were some staff members that were at each other. And a lot of people knew it. The pastor, we were to do a Sunday through Wednesday. And on Wednesday night after the service, he said, would you be willing to stick around for another night? I just feel led to go another night. I said, be glad to do it. That night, those teachers gathered in a circle on their knees and they all got right with each other. The pastor came to me after and he said, Pastor, Brother Knickerbocker, he said, you don't know how much my wife and I have been praying for that situation. That is a miracle of God. I went over to one of the teachers before the pastor ever talked to me. And I said, I noticed you ladies were praying together. And she goes, yeah, we're teachers in the academy. I said, did you know that your spirit permeates the school? And when you all are right with God, everybody knows it. We know that's true. The attitude, the spirit by which you conduct yourself, you're more giving when you're free from sin and harboring bitterness. Amen? Oh, this is so important. We cannot allow ourselves to be without God's power to do God's work. Number 5. Go with me to verse 46. Now, this is going to shock you a little bit. We have inconsiderate spirit, we have an indifferent spirit, we have an impatient spirit, we have an impotent spirit. Now let's check out how the disciples are doing, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest? You're kidding, right? No, I'm not kidding. They were talking to each other. They were wondering, I wonder which one of us disciples is going to be the greatest. You're a failure and you still think you're great. That's a problem. That's a big problem. If you can't think of anything you've done wrong when you've done wrong, don't you hate it when somebody comes to you and says, now, if I have ever offended you. Like, they can't think of when they did, but boy, we haven't forgotten when they did. That's ridiculous. The best way to do it is say, you know what? I'm a stinking, rotten sinner.
Right.
Amen. You don't have to say it that loud. I remember there was a lady in a church I was preaching at, and we had the meeting, and then we had a time of confession. And it was a lady stood up over there, and she said, and she's in tears, and she said, "I have been mean to the other ladies, and I have been miserable." And she said, "I am so sorry for my sin, and I ask all the ladies in the church to forgive me." And the ladies started coming. One by one, they walked over. There was a line of them. They hugged her neck and said, "We love you, and we accept your confession. And we forgive you." That lady, she was almost floated out of the church. She was so happy. What could God do if we would come to the place where we realize we're nothing but sinners that Jesus saved, and there's not one person in here any better than the other? We all are at level ground at the cross. And the sooner we humble ourselves, and the sooner we pray, and the sooner we seek His face, and we turn from our wicked way, the power of God is going to come on us. And I love it. Don't you? We got to get rid of that. It's called an inflated spirit if you're writing them down. Which one of us is going to be the greatest? You know what Jesus said about that? In Luke 17:10, He said, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." Just get to work and quit your complaining. Amen. We should say thank you. Amen. We should say we're sorry when we're wrong. We should look for opportunities to pray and encourage others. It's not about us. It's about Him and His kingdom and His church. And His school. And His college. Oh, what a wonderful thing when God takes over and we're nothing and He's everything. And last but not least, number 6. I want you to notice they had an intolerant spirit. Look with me there in verse 54. "And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?'" Now, they had just seen Elias there on the mount, and they were thinking about him. And there were some people that weren't in Jesus' company. And so these two fellas, James and John, kind of thought maybe these people ought to be taken out. And we could just reach over there and just strike them down. Now, there have been a few people I would like to have zapped. But then I realized I should have already been zapped. Right? Can you imagine saying to the Lord Jesus, "Should I take them out? Let me just send down fire from heaven on them and consume them." Look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said. "Ye know not what manner of" what? "Spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." We're not in the demolition business. We're not God's demolition crew. We are those that go with the sweet and tender message of Jesus Christ, that He came to save sinners, so all of you qualify to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? We're no better than anybody else. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've done. We've got people now saying, "Well, you know, there's some people that can't be saved." Oh, did God tell you that? This doctrine that comes up that you can't get a chapter and a verse for is ridiculous. Amen. You got to watch out for false doctrine. Jesus came to save sinners. And every sinner Jesus loves. Oh, if we loved sinners like Jesus loved them, I think we'd see a lot of sinners getting saved. We try to get away from them. I don't want them to see me. I remember one time in Peekskill, I was knocking doors on Park Street, And I had one of the men with me, I don't know which one it was, but we're walking down the street and there's this great big monster guy. I mean, he is big. He's like 400, you know, fully tattooed and pierced. I mean, this guy's scary. And I was like, I don't want to talk to him. So I thought, let's go across the street and then we can go down and knock the doors over on that side. I'm thinking it, didn't say it. And the Holy Spirit said, you go talk to him. How many ever had the Holy Spirit talk to you? Isn't it me? I like it when he talks to me. Yeah, sometimes not so much. Right? You know when God's talking to you. So I, in fear and trembling, I was kind of like Steve, you know. And I got over there and I had my Bible ready. And I had my Bible in my pocket, my New Testament. I had my tracts, and I'm going to get this over as quickly as I can. And I've got one of my men with me, so he's watching this. And I said, sir, I'd like to give you something to read when you get a chance. And he goes, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yes. He said, what's it about? I said, it's about how you can be saved and go to heaven. Oh, I will read it. What a wimp I am, you know what I mean? Huh? Why are we afraid? Why are we afraid to go forward? Why do we get an intolerant spirit? Wish people gone, wish people dead. Oh, it's bad. Why don't we pray for those that persecute us? Jesus said, love your enemies. That's a lot of fun. Amen? I went down to Texas to run a Bible college, and this is crazy, but there were some bad things that had happened down there, and I was visiting churches every Sunday morning. I was in the church. Sunday night I was in the church. Wednesday night I was in the church. And I went to this one church, and the pastor said, yeah, you're down there at that college. I'm not sending any more money down there. I have no respect for those people. And he was almost nasty to me because he was so mad at them. I said, oh, okay, I understand. I understand. He goes, you do? I said, yeah. I said under my breath, I've been mad at people too. So about a month later, I called him. I said, could you come down and preach for us at the college? What? I want you to come. You want me to come down there and preach at the college after what I told you? Yes. I want you to get the spirit of those kids, man. He goes, okay, I'll do it. So he comes down and he comes in. You could tell he wasn't thrilled about being there. I guess bad memories or something, I don't know. But after he preached to those kids, he sent $500 to the college. And then when we had the camp, he sent $16,000. One of his men said, I'll take care of the pool filter. Just amazing how when people get over stuff and forgive and move on and forget the things that are behind and reach out to the things that are before. We've got a world to win. We've got a city to win. We've got a county to win. We've got neighbors that need Jesus. We don't have time to be indifferent or intolerant of anybody. Oh, may God help us. What kind of a spirit do you have? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father,